Let's turn our Bibles now to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to read the first 10 verses for us. Galatians chapter 6 and verses 1 through 10. Galatians chapter 6 and verses 1 through 10. Starting in verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfil the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bless you for the opportunity to read your word in public once again. And Father, I pray that you would be pleased to use this time now, Lord, to help and encourage us in our walk with you. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray, amen. This is a time of year. I was in the garden just in recent days and getting things ready, getting things sown and what have you. And I was thinking about this passage in Galatians. Each year I think about it when I get out in the garden. Springtime, new growth, seeds, new plants, it's all wonderful. And I get to think about what Paul wrote here to the Galatians. And what he says here is very, very challenging in many ways, but a wonderful passage for us. But particularly verse 7, 8 and 9, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And these verses, in summary, what we would call the law of sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping. And you and I are where we are today in our lives because what we've sown in the past, be that good, bad or indifferent. That's the reality of it. What we have sown is what we are today. What we will be in the future will depend upon what we're sowing at the moment, and then how much we've still got the crop catching up with us from the past. That also comes into it as well. But I want us just to look at those verses and think about them afresh today. And verse there in verse 7, be not deceived. God says, don't be deceived, don't be led astray, don't think wrong thoughts, don't think that you can do something that nobody else has ever been able to do. In this context, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Don't be led astray, don't be deceived to think that you can somehow so certain things in your life and yet not reap a harvest down the track which is a harvest you wouldn't want. It's impossible to do that. Paul says here, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I can't stress that too much. It's so important that we get a hold of this. When I sowed beans in the ground a couple of weeks back, and I kept checking after a few days, I kept checking that to see what's going to come up. I wasn't looking for pumpkins. I wasn't looking for an apple tree. I was looking to see when the beans would come up, because what I sowed in that particular patch was bean seed. And I didn't expect to get anything else but beans. Now, whether they came up is another story as well, depending on how many bugs eat them and how many, whether they are good seed and everything else. That's all part of that. But the only thing I looked for when I saw that ground cracking was beans. Why? Because whatsoever you sow, that shall you reap. And what we see in nature, as we call it, what we see in God's creation, is exactly what we see in the spiritual realm as well. Surprise, surprise. God has so created things so that we can have all around us illustrations of spiritual truths. You think about it. The Lord Jesus would point to the flowers and say, well, look, Solomon in all his glory, he wasn't like one of them. And he pointed to the birds and said, look at the birds. They don't sow, but reap, but God takes care of them. God feeds them. And he would be constantly looking to things in the world to highlight and help us to understand spiritual truth. So this passage is no different to that. If you're not sure, don't be deceived. Go outside or go to the shop, buy yourself various packets of seeds. Put them in certain places. Put a name tag there if you're not sure. And then watch and see what happens. And I will guarantee that whatever you sow in those particular areas, that is what will come up. Now, you'll get a bunch of weeds too. It's amazing. I have had this year, probably, I'd say, the best crop of stinging nettles that I've never sown yet. It's amazing. They are thick. And the amazing thing about them is they grow faster than the other plants do. So if you were to see my place at the moment, you would see that I've been doing some weeding, because somewhere hidden in all these stinging nettles are some carrots. The problem is, when you pull out the stinging nettles, sometimes you pull some carrots out. And when you pull out some of the weeds, then guess what? A clump of dirt wants to come on the root of the weed and pulls a carrot out anyway. It's all the joys of gardening. But the point about what we're saying is, the seed that we sow, that is what we reap. Whatsoever we sow, that shall we reap. I emphasize the that. Whatever it is we sow, that we reap. Paul gives us two kinds of sowing that we do as believers. Now, how do we determine the harvest? What will the harvest be? Well, it depends on the seed we've sown, doesn't it? Again, we're repeating ourselves, but to emphasize the point, what we sow is what we reap. Question, what are you and I sowing in our lives? I'm not talking about in the garden now, but what are we sowing in our lives? Because Paul says there's two aspects of this. Verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. He said there's two kinds of sowing we're going to do in our lives. We're either going to sow to our flesh, or we're going to sow to the Spirit. It's the only two we do. We're sowing to the flesh, or we're sowing to the Spirit. Now, the question isn't whether or not we'll sow to the flesh or whether or not we'll sow to the Spirit. In one sense, we will sow to one of them. You say, well, I don't know what I'm sowing. Well, you better find out. Are you sowing to the flesh, or are you sowing to the Spirit? Because if you sow to the flesh, here's what happens, Paul says. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to your flesh, in other words, if you sow to your own ambitions, your own desires, your own plans, you will reap corruption. That's what he says. Now, this can be in a moral sense or in a physical sense, but particularly in the moral sense. Corruption means decay. It means ruin. If you sow to the flesh, you shall reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. Now, he's not talking here about salvation. Although, if the seed of God is not sown in a person's heart, then they can't be saved. Except they hear the gospel, they can't be saved. Except they hear the truth that they're sinners and that Christ died for them and was buried and rose again the third day. Until they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, then they don't have life everlasting. Once we trust Christ as our Savior, we have life everlasting. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. The idea of life everlasting here is this relationship with God. The Lord Jesus said in John 17:3, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. He's talking about having a relationship with God. If you sow to the Spirit, you will have a relationship with God. If you sow to the flesh, you'll have a relationship with yourself and with the devil and with the world. And so they're the choices that we have. Do we sow to the flesh or do we sow to the Spirit? We sow to the flesh, it'll be corruption, it'll be ruin, it'll not be a good scenario. If we sow to the Spirit, then we'll reap a life that'll be blessed in fellowship with God. Amen? They're the two choices. So we have to choose. What am I going to sow to? Am I going to sow to the flesh or am I going to sow to the Spirit? Now, have a look in chapter 5 and see the kind of fruit that comes here in Galatians if you sow to your flesh. Okay, here's what happens. You say, I just live life how I want to live it. I make my own decisions. I don't let anybody tell me what to do. I just live that way. Okay, here's what you'll reap. You have a look there in Galatians chapter 5. And you notice what he says here in verse 19. The works of the flesh are manifest. So they're manifest. They're made known. They're clear. What's the fruit that comes when we sow to the flesh? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Imagine that. That's what happens when you sow to the flesh. To a greater or lesser extent, that is what happens when you sow. That is what you'll reap. You look at pornography, you will reap adultery. Now, it may not be in a physical way. You may not, as it were, be unfaithful to your wife, but you will reap adultery in your heart. Remember what the Lord Jesus said? For a man to look upon a woman, to lust after in his heart, he's committed adultery already. So if you're going to sow to the flesh, that's what you'll reap. You'll reap adultery, you'll reap fornication, other sexual sins, you'll reap uncleanness, and the list goes on and on and on. That's when you sow to the flesh. And God said, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Whatsoever you sow, that sow to the flesh and reap a godly life. You cannot sow to the flesh and reap a life everlasting, which is a close, meaningful walk with God. You cannot do it. Why? Because whatsoever you sow, that shall you reap. You sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. You don't reap blessing, you reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, well, Paul is good to us in the sense that he tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is, which we're probably aware of, but let's remind ourselves in chapter 5 and verse 22. Now, here I am sowing to the Spirit. What can I expect? Well, I can expect the fruit of the Spirit, which is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's what I'll reap. Now, which one would you rather reap? Well, I know which one I'd rather reap. I'd rather reap the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, etc. But it's going to determine what I sow as to what I reap. You say, well, I want the fruit of the Spirit. I want love. I want joy. I want peace. I want long-suffering. I want all of that. Well, are you sowing to the Spirit or are you sowing to the flesh? And that is the simplicity of it. Whatsoever we sow, that shall we reap. We sow to the flesh, corruption. We sow to the Spirit, life everlasting. The fruit of the Spirit is manifest in our lives. And see, we do the sowing and God brings forth the increase, doesn't he? God brings forth the increase. We sow to the Spirit and he brings forth the fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc. So we need to ask ourselves, what am I sowing in my life? In what way am I sowing? Am I sowing to the flesh or am I sowing to the Spirit? What am I doing? We've already mentioned, for example, if I'm looking at pornography, then I will reap according to that corruption. I'll have struggles, I'll have difficulties, I'll have defeat, I'll have guilt, I'll have blame, I'll have all sorts of things in my life, which is corruption. There's no joy there for some momentary bit of a thrill. There's no joy. There's no peace of God that passes all understanding. There's none of that. That's all gone. Because why? I've sown to the flesh. You say, what's wrong with just a little bit? Whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. If I don't want to get any beans growing, I don't plant bean seeds. I don't plant even one. That way I don't have to worry about beans getting in the road, right? That's the principle. Yeah, but if you only sow a little bit, it won't be too bad. It won't be the crop that you might have gotten if you'd sowed a lot, but you'll still reap that which you sow. You know, I've watched over the years and you know, you see some Christians and they maybe go along okay for a while and they start sowing to the flesh and you can see what's going to happen and you can just about predict it in a sense. Well, you can predict what will happen, when and how bad the crop, but you don't know. But you can see there is going to come some serious problems here. Why? Because they're sowing to the flesh. You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. Don't be deceived. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we're not talking about being tempted and failing, and we're not talking about all that. We understand that. We can be tempted and we fail and we get back up and say, oh, Lord, please forgive me. You know, I know that's not right. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about this sowing, ongoing sowing. I'm doing things that I ought not to be doing. It's sowing to the flesh and it's guaranteed I will reap corruption. But the other side is it's guaranteed that I'll reap life everlasting if I sow to the Spirit, amen? So it's not all bad, it's not all negative, but there's a balance in that. We need to make sure and test ourselves. You know, when I sow to the flesh, I need to ask myself, what am I watching? You know, what do I look at on the idiot box there? Is that going to sow to my flesh or is that going to sow to my spirit? You know, I like watching love movies. Sowing to the flesh. You say, well, you might like that, but I'm just telling you, you're sowing to the flesh. You know, we go on all sorts of things, couldn't we? I don't have anything in mind in particular, but what we're trying to get across is whatever you sow, that shall you reap. You sow to the flesh in what you watch. If you sow to the flesh in that which you listen to, if you're going to listen to the kind of music that makes you jump around and carry on all the time, guess what you're doing? You are sowing to the flesh. And it'll bring corruption. So it brings joy. No, it appeals to the flesh. There's a difference between making my flesh happy and having the joy, which is the fruit of the Spirit. See, you can't listen to worldly music and enjoy the fruit of the Spirit. But I feel so good. It's got nothing to do with how good we feel. You are sowing to the flesh. You need to listen to godly music and that kind of thing. Don't listen to what the world offers. It's not good. Who we spend time with, our friends. You know, Proverbs 13:20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." So in my sowing, what am I doing? What sort of relationship do I have with others? Am I, you know, all my friends ungodly and uncouth, or are they godly people who want to live for the Lord? Because whatever I sow, that is what I shall reap. What do I sow? Am I sowing anger? You know, just an angry person. Guess what you're going to reap? Anger. You're going to find that people are going to come up against you, and you're going to find struggles and battles. You're going to find corruption. If you sow bitterness, guess what? You will reap bitterness. If you sow envy, guess what? You'll reap according to that. If you sow unforgiveness, guess what? You'll reap it. If you sow to the flesh, whatsoever you sow to the flesh, that shall you also reap. Now, some people say, "Oh, it's none of your business what I watch and listen to." That's true, in a sense. You watch and listen to what you like. I'm just warning you what will happen if you do it to the flesh. You see, God says I have to give account one day. And so I want to make sure that when I stand before the Lord, he doesn't say, "Why didn't you tell them that they need to be careful what they watch?" Well, I thought someone might get upset with me. And I knew someone would get, you know, they'd get a bit irritable if I got onto something like that. That's a bit personal. Well, whatever. Who are you to say what I listen to? I'm not telling you exactly what to listen to. I'm just telling you, sow to the Spirit. Sow to the Spirit. Don't sow to the flesh. Sow to the Spirit. So, well, how do we sow to the Spirit? Well, the obvious thing is get in the Word of God. Because the Lord Jesus taught about the parable of the seed and the sower. And he said, when he came to explain it, the seed is what? The seed is the Word of God. Okay? So I have to sow what? The Word of God in my life. If I want to reap everlasting life, if I want to reap the fruit of the Spirit, then I need to sow that which will produce that. If I want beans, I plant beans. If I want the fruit of the Spirit, I better sow to the Spirit. Now, who's the author of this book? Well, God is, of course. But the Spirit of God, the Bible says, holy men of old spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. He's the author of the book. And so if I'm not in his Word, if I'm not seeking to know his Word, then I'm not sowing to the Spirit. Now, I may not be deliberately sowing a whole lot to the flesh in one sense, but I'll still be sowing to the flesh. And I won't have the blessings that God wants for me. So I need to read the Word of God. I need to memorize it. Again, I challenge you today. How much Scripture are you memorizing? How much? Or how much have you memorized? You say, "Well, I find it too hard." Too hard. Now, that is I'll say it carefully, that is a pathetic excuse. It's too hard. I guarantee if I said there's $1 million, if you can memorize that verse by the end of the week, some of you would get fairly keen about that. Or you'd find a way. You'd be reading all the books on the internet. How to memorize. Quick, I need all the tricks to memorize. There's $1 million in a week's time. I've got to find out. How can I memorize? But we say, memorize a verse of Scripture. Oh, no, I'm too busy. It's too hard. I can't do it. It's all relative, isn't it? We can do it. You say, how do you do it? By repetition. You keep saying it until you've got it. Amen? That's how you do it. Now, you might be one of the rare people who has what they call a photographic memory. You read something once, got it. That's not me. Some verses, you've got to say them and say them. Some are familiar, aren't they, anyway? Be not deceived, God is not mocked. What shall a man sow, that shall he also reap. You should be able to say that. Can you say that verse from memory? Oh, well, I find it's a hard verse. The truth might be hard, but it's not that hard to memorize, amen? So maybe we'll camp here for a little bit and talk about memorizing scripture. How many scriptures could you recite off from memory? Now, you don't have to answer to me. I'm just putting the challenge out there. How many scriptures have you memorized? You say, well, where in the Bible does it say you have to memorize scripture? Well, I would suggest at least one verse. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Yeah, that could help. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. What does that mean? I think that means memorizing it. It means getting in the scriptures, asking God, Lord, which verses would you have me memorize? Lord, I need to strengthen my faith. We'll try Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Ah, thank you, Lord. That's a reminder. I want my faith increased, then I have to memorize the word of God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes. Lord, I lack a bit of peace. Well, great peace of they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Oh, right. Okay, that's right. Memorize some scripture. Again, how many verses could you recite without any prompting, chapter, verse, and the verse? You know, oftentimes you hear people say, well, there's a verse in the Bible somewhere about that. Very convincing if you're an atheist and someone says, yeah, there's a verse somewhere in the Bible about that. And Richard Dawkins goes, you don't even know your own book. And yet you say you believe it. See what I'm saying? How many scriptures are you memorizing? Are you memorizing any? If you're not, then start to memorize one. Just maybe one a week. He said, I couldn't do one a week. Well, one every 2 weeks. Well, I can't do that. Well, work on one until you've memorized that one. And then review it periodically and then start on another one. Okay? But I'm not sure which one. Well, go to the book of John, and I know we've said this before. Go to the book of John, chapter 11, and you'll find one there that everybody could memorize. Jesus wept. Well, that's not a hard one. Now, if you say that's too hard, can't help you. If that one's too hard, then I can't help you. So I'll give you that real easy one to start with and then move on to a harder one. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's a very difficult one, isn't it? You say, you've been a bit facetious. Well, maybe, but I'm trying to make a point. It's as hard as we want to make it. It's where our priorities are, isn't it? We can find time to do what we really want to do. That's the way of life, isn't it? I'll find time to have some lunch today. I will, no doubt about that. I'll find time. I'll make time. Doesn't matter how busy, I'll make time. If I miss it, I have double tonight. Whatever it is, but what we want to do, we find time to do. So the question, do I really want to sow to the Spirit in a way that's meaningful and which will produce a rich crop in my life? Love, joy, peace. Is that what I want to produce? Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Maybe memorize those two verses. Lord, I'm going to memorize those two verses. Galatians chapter 6, and I'm going to memorize them. It's not even chapter 6, is it? Galatians chapter 5. Ah, chapter 5, that's right. Verses 22 and 23. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. I have trouble getting them in the right order. That's all right. Keep repeating it. Love, joy, peace, faith, meekness, long-suffering. No, that's not right. What is it? Keep doing it. You say, why are you so exact? Because the word of God's exact. Well, I know it's in the Bible. I know what it says. Can you repeat it? Or do you have to? Not necessarily. What sort of crop do you want? Do you want a bountiful crop? Or do you want a crop that looks like it's just come out of a drought season? Struggle to survive. If you want to have a rich crop, then you must sow to the Spirit. Memorize. Meditate in the Word of God. It's what the Psalm 1 says, isn't it? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Meditating. He's memorized. I'd suggest he's memorized some scripture, and now he's meditating on it. The fruit of the Spirit. So that's not what I produce. That's what you produce, Lord. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Yeah, well, I struggle with that, Lord. Love. Yes, love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And I don't have to produce that. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And so we can meditate on the Word of God. Meditate on it. Joshua says that, doesn't he, in chapter 1, verse 8. You want good success, then this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Memorize it. So, well, some people have got a better memory than others. True. True, but all of us can memorize some. All of us can memorize some. Why don't you try memorizing a book of the Bible? So I can't even memorize a verse. Well, start with a verse then. So, okay, we'll start with a verse. But if you start with one verse and then memorize another one and another one, sooner or later you'll be able to memorize a book in the Bible. Because you memorize a book one verse at a time. Amen? And so, question, am I sowing to the flesh? Am I sowing to the Spirit? Now, the amount of the harvest, God knows, but in 2 Corinthians 9:6, he says this, if we sow sparingly, we shall reap sparingly. If we sow bountifully, we shall reap bountifully. Makes sense, doesn't it? If I put one bean seed in, I'm not going to pick half a ton of beans. I've got to put in a lot more if I want to get that many. And so if I want to get a really rich, close walk with the Lord, then one verse memorized won't be enough. But once you've got one, you'll be encouraged to do another one. And you'll be sowing to the Spirit. And you'll begin to enjoy a walk with the Lord that you didn't have before. You say, man, this is amazing. Well, it's not amazing. Whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. Now, the other thing is the time for the harvest. Varies, doesn't it? It varies. The time of the harvest varies. Now, God knows that. The danger is, as Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set to do evil. They've sown to the flesh. Nothing seems to have happened. Not a problem. Keep doing it. Uh-oh, be careful. Be careful. Whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. The time of the harvest is in God's time. It's guaranteed. We don't know how big the harvest will be when we're sowing in the spiritual realm, but it's guaranteed. The timing of it, the amount of it, we don't know, but God does know. And then finally there in verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Oh, I tried to memorize a verse. I just can't do it. Get with someone else. You know, sometimes that's very helpful. You know, when we had a family camp here 3 or 4 years ago, whenever it was, everybody was memorizing Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 32. And I listened to everybody as they kept coming to try and say the verses. And by the end of the camp, guess what? I knew those verses fairly well. And guess what? I could say them to you today. They've stayed with me. One reason they've stayed with me, because I review them at least once a week. But the point I'm making is, because I was doing it with someone else, as it were, that was very helpful. Very helpful. So you say, I just can't do it by myself. Find someone else and memorize a verse with them. That'll be an encouragement to both of you. And you'll both get blessed. And you'll find that'll be helpful in memorising Scripture. So I just want to do it by myself. That's okay, do it by yourself. I'm just saying, if you have trouble by yourself, maybe for the first couple, get with someone else until you get into the habit of memorising Scripture. And you'll find it'll be a blessing. Because when you're talking to people and when you're in certain situations, guess what the Spirit of God does? He brings back to mind those verses that you've memorised. Okay? And he brings it back. Oh, that's right. And you're praying about something and the Spirit of God brings a verse to mind. You're talking to someone, they've got some smart comment and God gives you a verse just like that. Bang, got him. Sword of the Spirit, got him. So let me encourage you to do that. Sow to the Spirit, but don't be weary in well-doing. Why? The promise is, for in due season you shall reap. You'll reap. The question is not what we're going to reap. It's if we sow to the flesh, we'll reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, reap life everlasting. And may the Lord help us, all of us, to sow to the Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bless you for your word. We thank you for this principle we call the law of sowing and reaping. We're not to be deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Lord, we're thankful for that. We thank you for what we've looked at today. We're thankful, Lord, as we look in the world around us, we can see this law of sowing and reaping. Lord, it yells at us, as it were. Whatever we sow, that is what we're going to reap. And Lord, we know also that if we sow sparingly, we will reap sparingly. If we sow bountifully, we shall reap bountifully. And I pray for all of us, Lord, that we might think on these things. Lord, what are we sowing now? Where will we be in a few years' time if we continue to sow what we're sowing? And Lord, to help us all, Lord, to consider the memorization of your word. Lord, hiding your word in our hearts that we might not sin against you. And Lord, that you would challenge all of us to take that up and to say before you, Lord, I'm going to start memorizing your word. I don't know quite which verse yet, but I'm going to do that. I'm going to make it a discipline, and I'm not going to make excuses anymore. I've tried in the past and given up, but I'm no longer going to allow the devil to have the victory there. And Father, help us, Lord, to have that sort of a priority and a desire, Lord. So again, we thank you and we praise you in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. I want to turn to 400 this morning just to close our service, hymn 400. I think this highlights the reality of sowing. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. If that's not the case, then we're going to sow to the flesh. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be. Take my lips, take my love. In other words, here I am, Lord. I want to sow to the Spirit. And the Lord says, fine, you'll reap a harvest and it'll be life everlasting. Hymn 400.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing. Let thou live for my King, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with praises, Lord, to thee. Take my silver and my gold, thou might would I withhold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my love, my Lord.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to come together this morning. We thank you, Lord, for these wonderful principles in your word. And Lord, I pray that we might be like the Lord Jesus. He sowed in a perfect way to the Spirit. Tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Constantly, moment by moment, sowing to the Spirit. May we walk as he walked. And Lord, we would commend ourselves to you for the remainder of this day. And we give you thanks again for our time this morning. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen.